Speaking this morning on the doctrine of God and the doctrine of Satan. The doctrine of God is truth. The doctrine of Satan is a lie. All belief, all philosophy, all actions stem either from the doctrine of God or from the doctrine of Satan. There's only two streams, there's only two fountainheads. And everything you believe and everything you do, you're either imbibing and following the doctrine of God or the doctrine of Satan. Now, this is deep. I mean, this is so simple, it's deep. It's simple, but it runs deep because it involves everything in your life. And this is what you must see. You must understand that it involves everything in your life. Most people think they're only getting in the doctrine of God when they're in the Bible, and the doctrine of Satan when they're in satanic worship. But that is not true. Everything you do, you're a minister for the doctrine of God or for the doctrine of Satan. Everything you believe, everything you say, every part of your actions. As soon as we come to get this revelation, and it's a revelation, as soon as you come to get that revelation in your heart, if you get in your head, it won't be a revelation. You go away and saying, well, I didn't know anything new. You get in your heart and you say, this is tremendous. I never realized it. Don't dispose of it too easily as something, oh, just to know something that we've always known. Perhaps you don't even know it yet. Perhaps you won't know it when I get through. But if it gets into your heart, it'll be a revelation that'll revolutionize your life. I believe the Lord gave me this message as I was counseling with a certain person about a certain problem. All of a sudden this thing came in and God began to work on it. And I knew it was Him. And I said, I'm going to have to preach this. And I knew that the first opportunity I had, I was going to preach it. The first opportunity I've had. If you think, if you confess, and if you act in conformance with the doctrine of God or the doctrine of Satan, you will open yourself up for more of the same doctrine. As you act, as you think, and as you confess, you open yourself up for a furtherance of that gospel. If you confess doubt, which is a lie, because we can do all things through Christ Jesus, that strengtheneth us. If you say, I could never go up to that platform and give my testimony, you are a minister of the doctrine of Satan. Now that's the truth, whether the words seem a little pointed or not. The thing is, we have hidden the truth in so much clouds that we can't see the truth. If you say, I could never go up, you are a minister of Satan. You are essentially saying this. Now, I'm not saying you're demon-possessed and you hate God. You may be spirit-filled and love God with all your heart and hate Satan. But unwittingly, you are promulgating his doctrine. You're preaching the same doctrine he just got through preaching to you. And you are saying, in essence, God is not big enough and not strong enough and not powerful enough to anoint me. I am too tough of an egg for God to crack. God does not have the power to anoint me and make my tongue a flame of fire. He cannot give me boldness and strength. God is too weak. Now, God's word says that he can. Therefore, God is a liar. Satan told me this, and Satan is the truth. And I will preach Satan's truth, and I will deny God. And I will say that the Bible is a lie, and God, Satan is the truth. I could never go up and do that. I confess it. I stand on it. Satan gave it to me, and I hold it. God says you can do all things through Christ Jesus. But I say, no, I can't. I cannot. Do you see what we've done? We haven't meant to. Oh, we say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that for anything. You just did. No wonder we're so weak. Because we have been the ministers of Satan for so long. Now, I tell you, folks, this is a very serious thing. The revelation will revolutionize your life if you really get it into you and begin to apply it. That's really what you're saying, although you don't mean to. You become a minister of Satan's doctrine, and you open the door to Satan. In that hour, you open the door to Satan and say, "Come in. I heard your knock, and I've heard your call, and I accept it." God speaks, and you say, "No, I'm taking the other doctrine." And you close the door, and you shut it out to his doctrine, and he can't get into you. You see, I've heard two voices, and I've chosen that one. Let me tell you what happens in the instant that you allow that doubt to come into your mind. Now, you see, God and Satan, God is the eternal spirit. Satan is a spirit. They only work to you through your mind. God lays his truth in your mind. Satan lays his lie in your mind. Let me prove to you that he lays it in his mind, in your mind. We are tempted of Satan. We know that, don't we? How can you be tempted of Satan? Did you hear him say anything with your ears? Was any waves came in and struck the eardrum? No, nothing came in. Did your eyes see something? No, they didn't see a thing. How can you be tempted of Satan if it's your own thought? Only if he puts the thought there. That's the only way you can be tempted. So you see, he does lay thoughts in your mind, but we think they're our thoughts. And Satan says, "Good. I'm operating underground." He's in a secret spy system. He doesn't want you to know it's his thought because he knows that you hate Satan and you'll throw it out if it comes from Satan. So he doesn't want you to know. You see, you can't tell by the feeling whether it comes from Satan or comes from you, because a thought is a thought, and there's no way to tell how it came. A lot of it comes to the ear gate and the eye gate. But you look back and there's certain things you know in life. You don't know how you know it. You can't remember where you read it, where you heard it. You don't even remember. But you know. There's a concept. You think something because of something that entered in some way. You don't even remember now how. When Satan puts a thought there, it feels the same as if you got the thought through some other source or thought it yourself. The only way you can tell is by the nature of the thought. If it's contrary to everything that you want, then you know it came from Satan. People say, "I don't understand. I had this terrible, filthy thing come into my mind, and I hate it. I don't want those things. I don't feel that way. I feel terrible. Why am I such a terrible person?" Well, Satan's lying to you. He put the ugly thought in. Then he says, "Oh, you see how you think? Now what kind of a Christian are you? You're thinking those filthy things, aren't you? Oh, yes. See? You call yourself a Christian." You know what's happened? He put an ugly thought in and blamed you for it, because he's a liar. You say, "Well, aren't I responsible for everything in my mind?" No, you're not responsible for everything in your mind. How could you be tempted if you didn't put it in your mind first? Jesus was tempted in all points. That means the thing was in his mind. Did he sin? It said he was without sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to walk by a bank or someplace and see a pile of money that nobody's guarding. It's not a sin for that thought to say, "Take it, nobody will notice it." Satan put it there. But it's certainly a sin to grab that thought and say, "Yeah, that's right. If I took it, I could use it. I'll start to harbor it and start to work on it." That's the sin. But if it comes in, you say, "No, I'm a Christian. I don't steal," and you throw it back out. You haven't sinned because the thought came in. Lust of the flesh, filthy thoughts, anything that comes to your mind, it's not your fault that Satan put it there, but it's your fault if you harbor it and hug it, keep it. You've got to throw it back out. Old Billy Bray, the old coal miner, Methodist coal miner, standing up and working on the old coal mines up there, and the thoughts come into his mind, "Billy Bray, jump off." Well, why should he jump off? That wasn't his thought. He didn't want to jump off. Jump out. Jump off. Jump off. He was looking for God, really looking for God. He knew where it came from. He'd shout out, and the coal miners around him, he'd say, Jump off yourself, old muddy foot. See how you like it. Wasn't going to let him trick him. Well, I tell you, he might have been ignorant in some things, but he was a lot smarter than a lot of Christians. He at least knew where it came from. We've got to realize what's happening to us, who we are, and how we're made, and these thoughts that come in. And you begin to harbor that thought, and you join the congregation of Satan. You're sitting in his pew, listening to him preach to you. And he'll preach to you all the time you're thinking about it. And you'll develop a tremendous appetite. And then as soon as you get through, he'll turn around and blame the whole sermon on you. He'll say, shame on you. Shame on you for thinking things like that. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. If you yield yourself, and you know what yielding is, don't you? Not fighting. It's giving in to. Satan puts something, and you don't fight it, and you give in to it. If you yield yourselves to him, don't you know it says that you are his servants and he's your master? You are making him your master in that minute. He becomes your head schoolmaster. He's your tutor. Don't you know that you become like your tutor? That's the truth. Disciples sat at the feet of Gamaliel or sat at the feet of Aristotle or Cicero or somebody and they became like him. Oh, not fully, of course. But they imbibed his principles and his philosophies into their heart and they became a second little Aristotle, so to speak. And if you sit at the feet of Christ, you become a second little Christ, so to speak. You become like your tutor. If you have a minister who is a intellectual, philosophical, ultra-modernistic, skeptical minister, you sit under him for 5 years, you become skeptical. You become philosophical and intellectual. If you sit under a minister that has a lot of love and the heart of God, you become, your heart expands with love for the heart of God. If you under a minister who teaches the word a lot, you become interested in the word. More so than those who teach under a minister who isn't a teaching minister and who isn't in the word very much. You become more bent that way. You become like your tutors, and that's true, because you are what you eat. All day long when that set's going and you're walking around the house kind of forgetting about it and those little ears are picking up all this brainwash, all this advertisement, all this, all day long, 24 hours a day, their minds are registering 20 million things a day up here. You really know what you're feeding them all day as they're running around the house, they're playing with blocks and their ears are tuned in over here. Pretty soon you hear them humming some little advertisement ditty. It's getting through to them. They're becoming like whatever is being tutored. Are you really sure you want to keep that set on all day long and all that stuff comes unmonitored into your little children's ears and heart all day? No wonder they're having a hard time making it in school. They're becoming like their headmaster. It's something to think about, I tell you. If you're judging, you're absorbing and preaching the doctrine of Satan. Satan is the worst of anybody there is. But you know he judges everybody? Sure. He's the worst of anybody, but he judges everybody else. And he wants you to start doing it too. Become little Satan. Start judging everybody. Get my doctrine. Judge him. Watch him now. Watch him close. Listen if you can find anything he says wrong. That's it. Good. Write it down. Hunt for something else. Write it down. Give it to him. Let him know. Get him after the service. Let him know, hey, you made a mistake, Bill. You're wrong, Hill. Now watch him close. Now watch that person. See him do that? Okay. Go tell him about it. Go tell him what he did. You're ministers of Satan. You're an ambassador. That's right. You're an ambassador. He hands you the directions. Says, Hill, go tell that person about that person. You go over. You know what they did? And you tell them about that person right there. The devil says, good work. Good work. You'll get your wages for that. Good work. And he always pays on time. Judge him. Judge him. Jealousy. You know Satan is jealous? That's why he wants you in hell. He's going there, and he knows he can't escape it. And he says, well, I'm going to get everybody else there, too. I don't want them to have something better than I've got. He's the most jealous creature there is, and he wants you to get jealous. Become little Satan and be jealous. Oh, see, he's got something you don't have. Get mad at him because he loves Jesus more than you. Edie mentioned this morning how God... I was just thinking this morning as she was saying what she was saying. She was preaching the doctrine of Satan. She was up mad because that person had peace and joy. But then the doctrine of God came in and she began to listen to the doctrine of God. And the doctrine of God came in and she decided not to follow the doctrine of Satan. Then her heart was completely free about the matter and she didn't judge him that way at all. See, she traded the doctrine of Satan for the doctrine of God and it changed her whole outlook. Now, we've traded the doctrine of Satan for the doctrine of God, but remember, there are a lot of doctrines. You say, well, I've done that too. Well, maybe you have in 75 out of 80, but how about the other five? You see what happens? Let me tell you what happens. You take the doctrine of Satan, it comes in your mind, and you confess it. You know what happens? You do that? Satan goes before God, like he did in the case of Job, and he says, now, Lord, that person is saying they can't do it. Now, that's my doctrine. No, that's not your doctrine. Your doctrine says they can. I say they can't. Now, what he is saying is a lie because it's opposite from what you're saying. And I know, and you know, that you tell the truth. And that is not what you said, Lord, so that can't be the truth. That's a lie. Now, I'm the liar, Lord. We both know that. I'm the liar. I lie against you. I told him that lie. And so, now, Lord, you made him a premoral agent. And you said that you're going to give him a chance to choose. And they had your choice. You gave him your truth, and I gave him my lie. And they just got through confessing that lie. Now, Lord, doesn't that make them my pupil? Aren't they confessing my doctrine? Now, Lord, now I must have a chance then. Because if they want mine, and you won't let me go and preach them more, well, then you're not giving them opportunity to choose, are you? And so, and Lord says, all right, to the great hurt of my creation, you're right. Yes, that's right. They have a right to choose your doctrine if they want it. You go ahead. But confine yourself to that doctrine, because that's the only doctrine they're confessing of you. Right now, you confine yourself to that doctrine. He says, all right. So he limits them to that doctrine. And you'll go and you'll preach his doctrine. And some people have been steeped in the doctrine of Satan so long, they constantly preach the doctrine of Satan. They come to church all the time and glorify Jesus, and then they turn right around and fire some more missiles back at Jesus. So they come in, they go over this castle, and they fire missiles at Satan, and they go over at Satan's kingdom and fire missiles back at God. You said, nobody would do that. Oh, yes, they do it all the time. Then we stand and say, well, we're really intelligent. Oh, we sure are. Yeah, we sure are intelligent. We sure have something to put our chest out about. Cain was jealous at Abel. Who put it there? Satan. You get a critical spirit. Who gave it to the Pharisees? Satan did. They said, we're of Abraham, our father of Abraham. He said, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. We say, ooh, awfully harsh words, wasn't it? Well, just the truth. He's just saying, well, you see, you Pharisees, you are listening to the devil's doctrine, and you're promulgating the devil's doctrine, and that makes you a son of the devil. He's your father. You're learning from him. You're in his family. You belittle somebody. That's the devil's doctrine. The doctor belittles you all the time. He's always belittling you. He says, belittle Satan. Go out and belittle him. Push him down. Let your pride build. Hunt for some area that you can do that they can't, and then go over and just heap infamy upon them. Ridicule them and mock them. Laugh at them. Ha ha. See how he stumbles around and can't do it? Ha ha. I can do it. We all stand around and laugh at him because they can't do it very well. That's the devil's doctrine. God doesn't laugh at people because they can't do things well. He goes down and helps them. Now, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I guess I will. In my heart, I've been a little perplexed for a long time. I'm in a congregation of people, or an assembly, the case may be, and somebody falls and trips and does something, and everybody roars with laughter. And I sit there and I don't laugh at all. And nothing funny to me. I feel sorry for them. Why is everybody laughing at him? It happens frequently. It happens in church. You know why? We've been out in the world too long. I don't think there's anything in the heart of God that wants to laugh at somebody who makes a mistake and falls down and does something wrong. To me, it's not funny. I just feel sorry for them. I'm going to put my arm around him and say, well, don't you worry about it. God loves you. It's pride showing itself. Ha, ha, ha. That means I'm greater than you. I don't do that. We all laugh at him. The Wycliffeites, some of John Wycliffe's followers, the Catholics in church history, they came before a Roman Catholic council of archbishops, and they begin to question him. They say, do you believe in the Trinity? And they said, yes. And he said, do you believe in Mary as the mother of Christ? And they said, yes. And they all roared with laughter. You believe in a doctrine. You don't believe in people. You believe on people. You believe in a doctrine. What were they doing? Playing games. They were interested in finding out whether they had heresy or not. Ridicule, see? Lifting themselves up by playing grammatical games with them because they hadn't had as many years of schooling as they had. That's Satan's doctrine. Run somebody else down because he doesn't know as much as you. He pronounced it wrong. The devil says, yeah, laugh at him. He pronounced it wrong. Well, listen, we're only doing the best we can. What do you expect? Better than we can do? We don't know any better. We can only say it. Well, we can only manage our tongue so well. We can only remember so well. We only remember what we learned in school just so well. We only do the best we can. Why are we laughing at one another? Why are we making fun? Why are we telling somebody about what he did? That's the devil's doctrine. How can we be spiritual with so much devil's doctrine? Now, do you understand why we have the Spirit of the Lord can't just sweep across the congregation and buoy us all up like he wants? We're in the devil's doctrine too much. Bitter against him, animosity against him, rebellious. You see, all these little tiny spiders all inside of us. Those little demon doctrines. I don't think we're as pure as we think we are. Sure, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, legally. But how about experientially? How about experientially are we free? That's the question. I ain't gonna start. I gotta get moving here. I got a long ways to go. Anger, gossip, pride, rebellion, all of this, Satan's doctrine. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. The Greek me is in nothing be anxious, or in nothing be full of care. In nothing be full of care. It doesn't mean don't be careful. He didn't say drive 120 miles an hour down through the downtown district. Be careful for nothing. Now, don't be careful. Shut your eyes when you drive and race through the streets. Just jump and don't look where you're jumping. No, he's not saying don't be careful. He's saying don't be full of care. Don't be full of anxiety. The old Attic Greek phrase meant don't debate with yourself, being full of apprehension. Don't be full of turmoil inside, worrying about whether you're going to be able to do it or not do it, whether God will provide it, whether you won't, and all of this type of thing. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Greek says it this way, throw out all your anxieties upon him, For it is a care to him concerning you. Oh, what a wonderful scripture. It's a care to him concerning you. The almighty sovereign of heaven and earth, that great potentate, it's a care to him concerning you. Little old you, why should he care about you? Don't ask me. I can't explain such love that he should care for us. But I can only point to such love and say, thank God for it. All your anxieties and all your cares, little children, just cast them. Cast them upon him. He didn't say just kind of kick your weight and just lean over against him a little bit and hold the weight. Just throw him away. Give him to him. He died for him. Why should you carry him if he's already died for him? He's already carried him. He's already bought for you. Why should you have to lug it again? He's done the work. Why take it off of the cross and put it in your shoulders and walk away with it? I died for you and your cares. We struggle under the load that he's already carried. You don't have to carry that. Cast it back on me where it belongs. I took care of that for you. Quit worrying. Worrying is opposite of faith. Worry is the devil's doctrine. Don't claim you're free from the devil's doctrine if you worry. Faith is God's doctrine, and faith doesn't worry about a thing. Trust, rest, and peace is God's doctrine. Be careful for nothing. Nothing means not even one thing. No thing. Not even one thing. Don't be full of anxiety about anything. Be anxious about no thing. Not even one thing. Not even one? No, not even one. Just one? No, not one. Isn't Zoar a little town? That's the devil's doctrine. Oh, yeah, every man has a right to be worried about some things. The devil says, you want to be free of... he didn't speak to be free of everything. That's the devil speaking to you. That's the devil's doctrine. Well, everybody's but a little thing. Oh, are you going to try to say that if everybody is preaching some of the devil's doctrine, then you should too, and that's a proper excuse? That's no excuse. Get rid of it and be free. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. If everybody is preaching some of the devil's doctrine, then you should too, and that's a proper excuse? That's no excuse. Get rid of it and be free. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. God doesn't want his people troubled. Do you know that? God wants his people free. He whom the Son sets free is troubled. No. Is free. 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 You're free. Free indeed. You ever play that game? You went up to a tree and you put your hand and you say, free! Some call it all the oxen free. And all those terms mean, but it's free. You know? You're free. You go now. You're free. You can't do anything. Can't make you do anything. Can't make you be it. You're free. You can just run. You're free. God wants you to be free. Notice the rest of the verse here in Philippians 4:6-9. Now notice how it goes. Be careful for no thing, but in everything. See the antithesis? Be careful, be anxious about no thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. It means to supplicate, to entreat, to beg, to ask for, with thanksgiving. Now maybe that'll change your prayer life. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, don't be anxious about everything. Well, how? Well, I'm going to tell you how. Don't be anxious about anything. So, the way you do that is in everything, you come to God in prayer, and you supplicate God with thanksgiving. You don't come moaning and groaning, saying, now notice, you don't come moaning and groaning with the devil's doctrine to God and say, I can't make it, Lord. I can't do it.
I'll never make it. I'm just a failure. I'm miserable. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. I'll never make it. Woe is me. What shall become of me? I'm not sure, Lord, I'll ever make it. Just don't come dragging your devil's doctrines in my courts. Leave those outside. Don't come into my house with that trash. You come into my house with thanksgiving. You come saying, blessed be the name of the Lord who doeth all things right. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all with me. Bless thy holy name. I thank you, Lord, because I am your child. You've begotten me into a lively hope. And you're the author and the finisher of my faith. And Lord, though I am weak, yet in you I am strong. Though I can do nothing in myself, yet in you I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengtheneth me. Though I am a failure, yet thou wilt take that failure and you'll make it a blessing. Though I am but dust, you'll make it a pillar in the temple of your God. Though I am unworthy and I have sinned, you will eradicate my sin. You'll acquit me from my sin. You'll put your robe of righteousness about me. Although I am a mortal man and I have disobeyed you and broken the covenant, yet you'll forgive me and wash me by thy blood and remove the sin as far as the east is in the west. And though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Praise be to the name of the Lord who heals his children and has not forgotten them and has written our names and engraved them in the palms of your hands and the eyes of the righteous upon your children. Lord, I come unto you, courts with thanksgiving and praise, asking for help because I am weak, but thou art strong. I come thanking thee, Lord, because you're going to hear me when I call. I know, Lord, I'm in a deep valley or a hole, but I know that thou art going to take me out, and I come asking you to take me out, O Lord. Thou art the lifter up of my head. You'll be surprised how much more victory you'll have with that prayer. Because he says, well, now you're coming with the doctrine of God. Now, like I get, now you're listening. Now you can listen to me. But you know, if you come in, now listen, it's very carefully. Let me prove something to you. If you come in affirming that, you notice how fast you get victory and praise? You're preaching God and nothing flat. Now, when you come in with Satan's doctrine, you don't open the door to God's congregation. And have you ever noticed you come in and you moan and you groan, and you lay in the seat, and you roll around, and you feel dead as a doornail, and you groan and you call and you pray and you groan and God doesn't seem to do anything? Well, why? You're not opening his door. You're in a different congregation. You're in his, Satan's church. You moan and groan, you say, oh God, I feel terrible, oh, I can't even pray. The devil says, that's it, that's what I'm telling you. You and his congregation. That's right. You say, I might as well quit, and the devil says, amen, brother. He'll even call you brother. And you don't feel, oh, I can't get through. Well, of course you can't get through, and you're in the wrong congregation. Change churches. Get over in God's congregation. Then God can work on you. That's why what I do so often, some of you probably noticed it. A person's in trouble, discouraging what I do, I come up and I begin to whisper God's doctrine in his ear. And I begin to say, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strong tower. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Lord is my hope. The Lord is my peace. I begin to bring God's doctrine into him. So they try to overwhelm Satan. He's bringing the other. I begin to bring God's doctrine strong right in the right ear. I begin to constantly doing this. I've done it for quite some time. And pretty soon I begin to see, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's happening? God's doctrine is getting in. Praise the Lord. Now they're praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, they begin to say. They begin to change doctrines. It's surprising. Then they come and say, oh, in the glory. And you get me, walk away and they're all right now. All I did was to give them God's doctrine. Came right from the book. It'll make a difference. The Lord said, listen to this message this morning. He said, because he said he gave it. It's his word. I'm just a middleman. Thank God for what you do have. Don't thank God for what you don't have. Thank God for what you are in Christ. Don't groan about what you're not. Thank God for what you will have, not what you don't have. Always thank God. It says, with thanksgiving, be thankful for what God has done for you. And quit moaning and groaning about what you don't have. The devil never wants you satisfied. You've always got something to gripe about if you look for it. It'll be there. Because there's always problems.
Man is born to trouble as the smoke goes upward, the scripture says. You'll always have problems in this life. You'll always be tempted. You'll always be valleys. But listen, there's always sunshine. And you take the person who, listen, look at the difference. Here's one person who preaches Satan's doctrine. He's a fault finder. He's critical. Nothing is ever right. The sermon's too long. The lights are too bright. The seats are too hard. They sit too close together. The song was off key. That person should have gone up at a different time. He didn't do it right. He should have done that instead. They're not warm enough. Nobody greeted me at the door. The chorus books are too tattered. The music instruments are out of key. Nothing is right. Everything's wrong all the time. They're miserable. Have you ever noticed? You can't. How can you be happy if everything's wrong? Wrong things don't make you happy. They're going around, and like I mentioned this last night too at this pre-marriage conference. I'm getting closer. You ever notice a person like that? Do you like to be around them? There's always a wide space all around them. Nobody wants to be around them. But take the person who preaches God's doctrine. Oh, it's a beautiful day today. Well, the song service was a wonderful service today. Oh, I know that somebody over here on the left was out of key, but it was still a wonderful service. Beautiful service today. Good message. Oh, I know it didn't come forth like it perhaps could have, but it was still a good message because it was God's word. And it was a good spirit of the Lord there. Oh, I know there were a few people there that were completely out of it, but it was still a good spirit. You take a person who always has something good to say, do you know she's happy? Sure, you got God's doctrine. In verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. You know what the Greek word shall keep is? It brought it from an Attic military term. It means shall mount guard. God's going to mount guard right around you. He shall mount guard around your heart. He shall keep your heart. It means to stand centennial, stand guard right around you. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall set a centennial about your heart and minds through the work that Christ has done for you. If you allow him to, the Lord will set up a centennial on your heart. How do you like that? We preached a while back on keeping your heart, put a double keep. It's the best keep I know. Let the Lord be your keep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. There's something about, you can put a keep there that you can't do one thing, even holding a sleep or a dream, or anything, and boom, boy, it's right there, that keep is right there. No, you don't. The spill's right out. No, you don't get in. No, sir. The spill of the Lord, that spill was just that so sharp, it's so close, that conscience of the Lord, you know what I mean? It's right there, won't let you do one thing. The peace that passes all understanding. You see, this peace of God, peace is lack of warfare. Peace. There's no fighting. There's no strife. It passes all understanding. It looks foolish in respect to circumstances. Because a person, things are not going wrong, right? There's problems out here. And this person has got a perfect peace. And they say, well, that passes all of my understanding. How that person could ever have such peace with all the problems they've got. How come, brother? Because it's peace. It passes all of my understanding. He said, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Passes all understanding. Passes mine too, but I sure love it. I just surrender to God. I've been preaching God's doctrine. And the peace that God gives you through his doctrine will pass understanding. It's the opposite of the carnal practice. Now, I've got to give you this and I'll be done. I'm going to show you Satan's strategy here. This strategy has trapped millions. A double strategy. It sounds so good. It sounds biblical. It sounds like God talking, but it's Satan talking. It's clever. Now listen to it. He's more clever than you think he is. Satan doesn't want to come out making a lot of stupid statements. He knows how to work on you. The proof of that is look at you. I'm talking to you. That thumb is pointing at me too. We have to admit he's pretty smart, because all we have to do is look at ourselves, huh? Let's look at the strategy. But Paul says we're not unmindful of the strategies of Satan. By the Spirit, we're not. But now let's do something about it. In this country, you know, they're not unmindful, some of them not unmindful about the strategy of the communists either, but they don't do a thing about it. You've got to do something about it, not just know about it. Now, Satan will come to you. If you're concerned about the holiness of life, pleasing God, living a good life, and just having holiness, righteousness, Satan will come to you and he'll say, why do you struggle so hard to be perfect? Don't you believe that salvation is of grace and not of works, lest any man should boast? Well, if it's not of works, why are you struggling so hard with works? Why don't you just have grace? After all, this is the Bible. You'll never be perfect on earth anyway, so why struggle to be perfect? And besides, God's righteousness covers you whether you're perfect or not legally, so why don't you settle for legal perfection? Why try to get experiential perfection? Because after all, if you're legally perfect, he can't put you in hell for being legally perfect. So if you're legally perfect, he can't take any legal action against you. So why struggle with it? Christ is your perfection anyway, isn't he? Sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like the Bible, kind of, you know? I mean, he's using, you think Satan will preach there? The devil will never preach the Bible. No, I got news for you. You go back and read the temptation of Jesus Christ again, and Satan says, and he quotes the Bible and says, it is written, thou shalt give thy angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And he quoted the scripture to Jesus. You bet he uses scripture. He got many ministers that he got under his thumb preaching scripture. Of course he'll use scripture, but he always uses it out of context. He twists it just a little bit. Now, some people he twisted a lot for, because you know, they don't not very much light. But the more light you got, the more clever, careful he has to be. See, so he didn't twist it so much for you. He's a lot more subtle with you than he is with them, because he knows that you'll spot it too quick if he doesn't. And so he brings you something like this. Sounds biblical. He told Jesus, well, will not the angels give thee charge, lest you dash your foot against a stone? Jump off the temple. You won't get hurt. The Bible says so. But God never said that that promise was for those who were reckless and tried to tempt God and just throw themselves off of any old bluff and expect God to give his angels charge. That's for those who stumble over a rock accidentally, twisting it out of context. Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. To keep people perfect, just because they want to jump off of something for their own pride. That is not what it meant. It's meant. You know, see, it sounds good, but the only problem is Satan is trying to keep you in a state of indifference to God's holiness. He's trying to keep you in carnality. He doesn't want you to be perfect. You're concerned about being just like Jesus wants? Well, he doesn't want you that way. He wants you to walk in carnality and just trust the blood of Christ. You see, well, that would get you to heaven, won't it? Well, maybe not. Maybe so. Depends on whether you're backslide further up to you. If you believe that much of his doctrine, he can keep working on you. And up the line a bit, he might finally get you. Besides, even if it did, he would lower your position in eternal glory, because God wants you experientially perfect to be the bride of Christ. If you can't be experientially perfect, you're not pleasing your Heavenly Father. Now notice how he works the big lie. He goes to you about if you want to be holy and perfect, and he says, well, why be perfect? I mean, after all. But if you don't want to be perfect, and you're unconcerned about holiness, see, and a lot of people, you know, they're unconcerned, they just think everything's fine. I'm a Christian, you know, I pray, I ask God to forgive me. He goes to you, and unconcerned, and he says, look at you. Just look at you. Doesn't the scripture say, be ye holy even as I am holy? What kind of a Christian are you? How can you dare sing those songs? How can you dare hold your head up to God? How can you witness to somebody else after the sin you committed? I know what it is. Look at that sin you committed. How can you witness to them? Hypocrite! Doesn't Christ say, if you love me, keep my commandments? You don't keep his commandments. You don't love him. You don't love him. You're a failure. You might as well quit. He said, well, that sounds kind of good, doesn't it? I mean, that comes from the Bible too, doesn't it? I mean, after all, isn't there some truth in that? Sure, there's truth, bent for the wrong purpose. Twisted slightly. Twisted just enough to cause you to lose your salvation is all. Sure. You know, thousands listen to that and they're in despair. And thousands listen to the other and they feel good works. They feel good works. You actually come and say, you point, you're not doing that way, but you say, oh, good works, I mean, get away from good, me with good works. I mean, after all by grace, brother. See, I just live any old way I want, and I just walk by the blood of Jesus. I just walk in grace. I don't have to worry about how I live. I just walk in the grace of the God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all my sin, one vial, but he's my, I trust in him. Sure, there's some truth, though. The union of the devil's congregation. There's two arms to the truth. I don't want to leave you the devil's strategy. Let me bring God's doctrine and I'll quit. There's two arms to the truth. One arm is this. Be ye perfect, even as I am perfect, the Lord says. Walk in righteousness. Flee adulteries, for no adulterer shall enter the kingdom of God. Stop lying. Stop cheating. Treat your brother kind. Show forth good works, that others might see your good works and glorify God. That one doesn't preach that to you, you see. But don't trust your good works for your salvation, for salvation is not of works, but is of grace. It's the mercy of God, lest any man should boast. Don't think your good works are going to get you into heaven. You'll never get to heaven on all the good works you can pile up. But do good works, because God is good, and he wants you to be good. God is lovely and sweet and kind and merciful, so you be merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Be merciful. Be like your heavenly Father. Because if you love me, obey my commandments. Please me. By this shall all men know you, my disciples, that you have loved one toward another. Do forth good works that they may glorify your heavenly Father. But don't trust in your good works for your salvation. It's a gift of God. That's one arm of the truth. Then the other arm of the truth is don't try to get into heaven by good works. Don't try to be perfect just by struggling in the flesh. Yield to the Spirit. Let the Spirit begin to move on you. And as you make determinations against the flesh, make decisions, but move in the Spirit and let the Spirit blow you up. And when you're in the Spirit, you won't feel like doing it anyway. And the more you love Jesus, the more you want to please him, the more you feel displeasing him. And after having yielded to God, confessed your sins, and yielded to God the best you can, then trust the great grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you whatever you've done, and rest in peace in the mercy of God. And don't look back at your sins. God has forgiven you. And so rest in it. Don't be looking at yourself and worrying about your own works, because you're not saved by your works. But God is working on you experientially to get you perfect while he covers you legally to make you perfect. So trust in his blood, but do all that you can to yield to his Spirit and not yield to the devil. That's the truth. It might sound kind of close to the other, but there's a world of difference. The devil wants to have his own doctrine, and don't believe him. Thousands are in despair all the time. Oh, they're groaning into a low because they keep looking at themselves. I'm a failure. Look what I did. Passing the devil's doctrine. You're not supposed to look at yourself. You got no right to reach down underneath the blood of Jesus Christ and take it back out again when he put it under there. Who gave you the right to get on the blood of Christ? What right have you got to paint it red after he made it white? When he's forgotten it, you've got no right to remember it. But don't walk in indifference, because if you love him, you want to please him. Be ye holy even as I am holy. Let's preach the God's doctrine and not the devil's doctrine.